When art lets us see the wonder of creation as God's work and the human person as God's image, it becomes a powerful part of the religious life, with one proviso. The Greeks believed in the holiness of beauty. Jews believe in Hadrat Kodesh, the beauty of holiness. Not art for art's sake, but art as a disclosure of the ultimate artistry of the Creator. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 168, Art, Jews, and Jerusalem. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. In 1939, with London anxiously awaiting the assault of the Luftwaffe, the National Gallery knew that it had to seek a safe storage location for its priceless art. Kenneth Clark, then the museum's director, proposed to the British Prime Minister that the entire collection should be moved to safety in Canada. Churchill immediately responded, "Hide them in caves and cellars, but not one picture shall leave this island." A slate mine in Wales was selected, and all the art in the National Gallery was stored there. Then, in 1941, the gallery announced the acquisition of a Rembrandt, a portrait of an elderly woman named Margareta de Geer. Given the war, the public would have no opportunity to see it. It was to go to the mine. Several days later, a letter of protest, penned by an art lover, appeared in the London Times. He wrote, quote, "Because London's face is scarred and bruised these days, we need more than ever to see beautiful things. Would the trustees of the National Gallery consider whether it were not wise and well to risk one picture for exhibition each week?" The letter added that music lovers are not denied their Beethoven, but picture lovers are denied their Rembrandts, just at a time when such beauty is most potent for good. I know the risk, but believe it would be worth it. End quote. Clark took the letter to heart, and after a discussion with the museum's trustees, it was decided to show Rembrandt's portrait of Margareta de Geer to the public. Thus, the portrait of this woman was installed in the vast empty edifice that is the National Gallery. People assembled in multitudes, lining London's war-torn streets outside the museum, to view it. The London Times wrote that though it was only one work of art, quote, it was a Rembrandt, end quote, which is why, therefore, it was, quote, sufficient to draw a large crowd of those hungry for aesthetic refreshment, end quote. What is striking is that if, as the letter writer wrote, denizens of London were in need of seeing what he called beautiful things, one would have expected, when superficially reflecting on it, that the painting that would have been chosen would have been one reflecting the beauty of youth rather than a portrait of an octogenarian. But the truth is that Rembrandt's painting of Margareta de Geer is a beautiful painting, and precisely because of the honesty with which the artist depicts the experience of aging. E.H. Gombrich, in his best-selling book, The Story of Art, once reflected that what set Rembrandt apart from all other artists was his ability to show us the interior lives of individuals. As he put it, while Da Vinci may have been brilliant, at the same time, quote, even the Mona Lisa could not always have smiled, end quote. In contrast, Gombrich wrote, in Rembrandt's portraits of human beings, quote, we feel face to face with real people. We sense their warmth, their need for sympathy, and also their loneliness and their suffering, end quote. Rembrandt, in other words, shows us the beauty and complexity of the human soul, and one sees the beauty of the human spirit in Rembrandt's portrait of Margareta de Geer. This, as we said yesterday, is the meaning of Rabbi Abraham Isaac HaKohen Cook's statement that Rembrandt's paintings reflect the light of God. As Rabbi Sachs reflected, Rabbi Cook's description had, quote, everything to do with the light Rembrandt saw in the faces of ordinary people, without any attempt to beautify them. His work let us see the transcendental quality of the human, the only thing in the universe on which God set his image, end quote. The ultimate aspiration for art, from the Judaic perspective then, is to allow the light of God, as reflected in human life, to be shown through the creative medium. And this concept is reflected in a fascinating letter that Rabbi Cook wrote to celebrate the founding of an art school in Jerusalem. It was in 1906 that the artist Boris Schatz created a school of art for the Jews of the Holy Land, naming the Jerusalem School for the biblical figure who helped Moses bring the tabernacle into being, Bezalel. It was sometime after Bezalel's founding that Rabbi Cook wrote to congratulate Schatz. In this incredible bit of correspondence, Rabbi Cook further reflected on what he hoped would ultimately emerge from Zionism, from the rebirth of a Jewish state, reflecting in the letter how art, from a religious perspective, was also central to Jewish independence and Jewish national flourishing. Jerusalem, Rabbi Cook wrote, is cholat machlat hagalut hamara, ill from the bitterness of exile. And he reflected on how he sees, in the desire for art, a zerem chayim, a stream of life, adding, in an interesting parallel to the London letter that we mentioned, writing of Jerusalem, "He doreshet yofi, she, Jerusalem, seeks beauty, emanut, art, melechet machshevet, thoughtful creation." Rav Kook further noted that while there may be those that argue that Jerusalem has bigger issues on which to focus, still he argued, writing about this desire for art from Jerusalem, "Hadrisha haba milev banah, this seeking that comes from the heart of her children, merucha asher shavcha lehem, from the spirit that poured on them, is," he added, "something to celebrate." As he wrote, "Hadrisha ba'atzma hi ot chayim, ot tikva li yeshua v'nechama, the seeking is a sign of life, a sign of hope, for salvation and consolation." In the same letter, Rabbi Kook reflected on the Judaic idea of art, noting that restrictions placed in Jewish law on the creation by Jews of some forms of three-dimensional sculpture, if it embodies a flawless, sculpted image of a human being. He wrote, and this is from my translation, that, quote, "towards the generality of artistic beauty as realized in concrete works, the product of human hands, our people takes an attitude which is positive and encouraging, but also restrained. We take care not to go to extremes or become inebriated, even when dealing with the most sublime and lofty things," end quote. What that means, I think, is that Judaism embraces the visual arts, but it is also worried about bestowing divinity to nature, or even more problematically, to human beings. This concern is not founded on the belief that human beings are inconsequential. On the contrary, it is founded on the notion that, as Rembrandt shows us through his art, the fragility of human life is the very foundation of its beauty and profundity. As Rabbi Sacks pointed out, this concept is itself reflected in the name of the biblical crafter of the tabernacle, the name that was chosen for Jerusalem's art school, Bezalel. Rabbi Sacks writes, quote, "The key to Bezalel lies in his name. It means in the shadow of God. Bezalel's gift lay in his ability to communicate through his work that art is the shadow cast by God. Religious art is never art for art's sake. Unlike secular art, it points to something beyond itself. The tabernacle itself was a kind of microcosm of the universe, with one overriding particularity, that in it you felt the presence of something beyond, what the Torah calls the glory of God, which filled the tabernacle." And Rabbi Sacks further wrote that, "The Greeks and many in the Western world who inherited their tradition believed in the holiness of beauty. Keats's beauty is truth, truth beauty. That is all you know on earth and all you need to know. Jews believed in the opposite, Hadrat Kodesh, the beauty of holiness. Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalms 29:2. Art in Judaism always has a spiritual purpose to make us aware of the universe as a work of art testifying to the supreme artist, God himself. End quote. These are Rabbi Sacks' words. And he added that it is here that we discover the true difference between Judaism and Greece. Rabbi Sacks further writes that, quote, "art in Hebrew, omanut, has a semantic connection with emunah, faith, or faithfulness." And he adds a bit later that when art lets us see the wonder of creation as God's work and the human person as God's image, it becomes a powerful part of the religious life with one proviso. The Greeks believed in the holiness of beauty. Jews believe in Hadrat Kodesh, the beauty of holiness. Not art for art's sake, but art as a disclosure of the ultimate artistry of the Creator. That is how omanut enhances emunah, how art adds wonder to faith. End quote. This then is the meaning of Bezalel as a biblical name. With hindsight, having read Rav Kook's letter, it is fascinating to reflect on the state of the arts in Israel today. As I've noted in commentary, one of the most fascinating cultural phenomena in Israel today is that of Orthodox Jews, both in the national religious and Haredi communities, engaging in artistic endeavors that are fueled by a study of Judaic texts and by experience of Judaic observance. Thus, Rabbi Chaim Sabato, a leader in one of Israel's prominent national religious yeshivot, published a novel titled Adjusting Sights, drawn on his own experiences in the Yom Kippur War. The book was received real acclaim by Israeli cultural circles, and to this day, because of the power with which Sabato brings war to life, the novel is used by the IDF on behalf of soldiers suffering with trauma. And this religious Israeli creativity is not limited to literature. Thus, as I further wrote, the filmmaker Rama Burstein, who originally lived a more secular life but ultimately embraced Orthodox Judaism, wrote and directed an exquisite movie about Hasidim titled Fill the Void. The Bezalel Art School has begun a program for Haredi students. In song, one of the most popular singers in Israel is Yishai Ribo, and he and others express Judaic ideas through modern songs in a way that bridges communities in the country. The creative arts is indeed one of the fascinating areas in which a Judaically inspired spirit is flourishing in the Jewish national home, and it was one letter to Jerusalem that foresaw it. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.